Yeah. Does our theme music sound a little sexier this week? A little twerkier? Yeah. It's not in your head. It's a porn mix of our theme. And that's because it's a brand new edition of the Femme Fatale podcast, but it's a very sexy, sexy edition. And you don't have me to thank for that, as luscious as I am, and as juicy as my Hollywood gossip may be. And you don't have Baby Vegas to thank for that, even though he would very much like to think otherwise. Hello. We have Baby Vegas with me this week. Hello. And he's got a brand new haircut. Yes, don't you have a brand new haircut? It's like spiky on top, as if like if something fell on it, someone would die.
Well, I'm just killing men left and right.
I'm sure you are. No, this episode of my podcast is sexy because of the questions you, not Baby Vegas, you loyal listener, asked me this week. The podcast is built on taking your questions about the inner machinations of Hollywood, how it works, what's really happening behind the scenes, what's BS, what isn't. And it just so happens that all the listener questions I chose this week have a sexy theme, a sexy theme, or a sexy answer, or sexy people related to the answer. Am I talking at least in part about a Game of Thrones question? Possibly if I have the time, because that's how info-packed this show is. Am I talking at least in part about a pornography question? Yes, I am.
Oh.
Am I talking at least in part about a blind item featuring one of the most ridiculously hot men on television? Oh, make no mistake. Yes, I am.
Ooh.
Yeah, say hello again, Baby Vegas.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, I need you to talk for a second. Your voice is like a cold shower. I need to calm down.
Actually, quite refreshing cold showers. Really.
No, not refreshing, just a damper. But okay, I also have a celebrity sighting for you because why just give when you can give and give? Plus, I promise to dedicate a short bit of time to whatever Pablum Baby Vegas has to say. Now, before we get started with all this hot botheration, we have business to attend to. Suppose you too, listening, have a question about what's really going on out here in Hollywood. Baby Vegas, how do they reach me?
They can ping you on Twitter via the handle Femme Fatale Says. They can email you at Leslie@thefemmefatale.com. They can comment on your blog at thefemmefatale.com, or they can find you on Facebook under The Femme Fatale. And apparently, they can find me at the Speedo store.
I made you read that. I did. I was like, when is he going to see that? When is he? Is he seeing it now?
When
is he seeing
summer.
It now? When it's summer. Now, where can they reach you, really?
They can find me as well at Twitter at Baby Vegas with a Z.
Now, are you ready for the blind item?
I please.
Well, too bad, because I'm going to give you a non-blind item first, a quick sighting. The other day, my man was at the hardware store, because that's how he rolls. He knows his way around a power tool.
That was my man noise. Sorry.
Okay. And anyway, he knows his way around a power tool. Not that he lets that define him, of course. Anyway, he's at the Lowe's over here in our neighborhood. And who does he see but Bubbles from The Wire? Now, of course, I just got a blank look from you because you didn't watch The Wire, because you don't watch any quality television at all.
It's hard to keep up with things.
Oh, my God. What are you watching right now?
Parks and Rec, I keep up on.
Uh-huh.
I really like Nashville.
Uh-huh.
The Americans is great.
Do we need to stage an intervention? Please tweet me at Femme Fatale Says and let me know if we need to plunk him down and make him watch Game of Thrones and Mad Men forthwith. Anyway, the actor is named Andre Royo. Now, fans of The Wire know that Bubbles was a heroin addict who pushed a shopping cart. Everybody except Baby Vegas knows this. Now, curiously, the actor was shopping and would have been perfectly within his right to push a shopping cart in this instance. In fact, he appeared... It appeared that he was shopping for a ceiling fan, which is heavy and therefore would merit a shopping cart, but he chose not to push one at this time. In fact, if I were an actor who had played a shopping cart pushing homeless person on one of the most acclaimed shows on TV, I probably would never be seen pushing a shopping cart again, and that is the end of this sighting. Now, let's get to the blind item. As you may know, and as JJ certainly knows, it's Coachella season out here
Coachella.
In California. Now, you just got back from it, and you said...
I did a couple hours ago.
You did what? You saw what? How many shows?
I saw 48 shows in 3 days.
Was so there
$7.29 a ticket?
Well, for those of you listening at home who are not familiar with Coachella, all the irrelevant stars put on their most needlessly expensive clothes and go out into the desert, where they are herded into a VIP area in private carts and shielded from the hoi polloi, while they are served premium whiskey and they watch New Order and Blur, or like the Wu-Tang Clan reunion, and there's a giant dust storm and they pretend that they're having a great time. Were you there for the dust storm?
Yes. I was at Wu-Tang Clan. It was apocalyptic.
Was it?
We stayed for the rest. For the next, like, 3 hours, we were like, we have to finish this. But it was a little terrifying.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, think of the VIPs. Think of the VIPs, Baby Vegas. Think of the VIPs. We're talking Lindsay Lohan and Katy Perry and whatnot. Anyway, you can go to my blog at thefamefatale.com to get more scoop on Coachella. Some really good sightings and some really good dish. Anyway, seems like my spy out there spotted one of the hottest men working on TV. Just to get some perspective, the guy was riding along in a private cart along the production road, which is VIPs and celebrities in production only. Next to, I'm sure that you found a way onto the production road, didn't you? You did, didn't you? Yes.
I wish.
Yeah, right. The guy was riding along in this private cart next to my spy's cart on the production road. So we're talking very up close and personal, very confident sighting. In fact, my spy is so good that we know that this TV star was carrying a large cup filled with, we're about 90% sure, that premium whiskey that I was talking about, and that our hot TV guy had quite a bit of it by the time my spy caught up with him. Ooh. In fact, according to another spy there, he was double-fisting beer at the VIP bar, and then he was carrying around something brown in a water bottle that looked like whiskey.
Sounds like he later knows how to party.
And people were like, four people came up to my spy after my spy saw him and said, that dude. First, they said two things. They're like, fuck, he's beautiful. And fuck, is he hammered at the same time. Now, as far as who this hot guy was with, apparently the answer is a cart full of friends. I could describe something about these friends, but if I do that, it'll give it away. Ponder that. Here's another good tidbit about this person. And Baby Vegas, listen closely. It's a subject of hot debate. Which team this guy bats for. As a matter of fact, without saying a word, in the past, you have told me that you think this guy bats for your team. Or you've heard that this guy bats for your team. So I asked my spy, was our hot guy cuddling up to anybody in particular? And here's the answer that I got. During one concert, our hottie, and I believe this was for Postal Service. Were you at Postal Service? Had a guy on his shoulders, but at another point, he had a girl on his shoulders.
Which way were they facing?
See, there's always one question. Even a good reporter doesn't ask all the right questions. Anyway, so when we come back, someone asked about the weekly wage of a successful porn star, and I've got your answer, courtesy of one of the few people who can really give me a really good answer. We're talking about successful porn star Joanna Angel. She's the owner of Burning Angel, which merges punk and porn. And we've got her when we come back. This may sound like a blank space, but it's not a blank space. This is a space for you, the would-be sponsor of my podcast. Would you like to sponsor this podcast? Email me at leslie@thefamefatale.com for more details. And we're back. Before we get to our first question, some context. I have many spies in this industry. You may call me the little finger of Hollywood. You may call me the Varys of showbiz. You may call JJ someone who has no idea what I'm talking about, and that's a shame. One of my spies works deep, 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 deep in the porn industry, okay? And this spy told me a few things about James Dean and a few things about the average pay of a male porn actor. You can find those facts via my blog now at thefamefatale.com. Anyway, after that little dispatch, I got this reader question. Go ahead, Baby Vegas.
From Leslie Ann Huddy via Twitter. How much for a cheek?
How much for a lady, you ask, okay? Leslie Ann also asked a follow-up, which was,
what is her exit strategy when age or desire makes his career less profitable?
Well, Leslie Ann, just for you, I dug around. I asked my spy where I might find someone who would know, and my spy came up with someone. I went straight to someone who would know. You're going to be listening to me talking to the fabulous Joanna Angel, not only a porn star, but a porn business owner. You can find out more about her via Burning Angel, which mixes punk and porn, and I spoke with her earlier today. So with me today is Joanna Angel, one of the top porn actresses and moving her way into mainstream actresses in the business today. We've got a reader question. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
The reader actually has two questions that are very interesting. The first one is, what's the average pay per film and or per day for an actress such as yourself, both in porn and in mainstream? And also, what is your plan down the line in case the porn industry isn't paying you what you are worth?
Oh, I don't know if I'm the right person to answer this question because I only work for myself, really. I don't work for other people. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't get paid anything. I have to pay other people.
Interesting. Well, maybe you could talk about what you pay other people, or yeah. I'm sure you know about the industry as a whole and what those charges are.
Yeah. An actor or an actress?
Let's do both. I mean, this woman who wrote in wants to know about actresses.
Okay. Well, it's really like, I would say the lowest. I mean, I can only really speak for, you know, for myself. I mean, lots of different people have lots of different deals with lots of different people, you know. Porn, I think sometimes people think that porn is like one thing, you know. Like people say, I want a job in the porn industry. I think sometimes people don't realize that porn is an industry comprised of lots and lots of different small companies. And every company does their own thing. But the general rate, I'd say, depending on what you're doing as a girl, it can really be anywhere from $500 per scene that's at the lowest, you know, and that's usually if you're probably just fucking yourself.
Got it.
Highest, I'd say like a top name girl can maybe get something like $5,000, but it's pretty rare.
For a scene.
Yeah, per scene. But that is pretty rare. You have to be like really like a top girl to get something like that. I think on average it's going to be somewhere between 800, 900 and like 2,500 for your average porn girl.
And what do you need to do to get 2,500 versus?
You need to have a bigger name.
You need to have a bigger name, but you also need to be doing something more interesting than fucking yourself, right?
Well, I mean, yes. Well, you're not going to get $2,500 for fucking yourself. Obviously, if you do a gangbang or you do anal or something, you're going to get more money than if you don't. However, if there are definitely girls with really big names who get paid more money for doing less stuff. I mean, I know a girl who she had a very big name. And she quit doing scenes, and she was only doing solo scenes, and I think she was getting paid something like $1,000 just to do a solo scene, which is incredibly rare. She just had a really huge name, so there's value to her name being in the movie, even if she's not doing something very exciting. You know, I mean, that's kind of just how it is. It's the same thing in Hollywood, you know.
Gotcha.
If you want Angelina Jolie to walk across the screen, it's going to cost more money than having, I don't know, a new actress, you know, spend an entire year on set. It's just kind of just how it is. But, you know, most girls, I think, can get for a regular, I mean, I think a regular scene is just a boy girl, not anal scene. I think is anywhere from like 800 or 900. I think 2,500 would be like the most right now in this day and age, unless you are, you know, there are rare exceptions for the few girls in porn that have a really, really big name.
Now, what about a boy?
A boy can be as low as, I don't know. I think guys starting out can get 200 or 300, and the top guys can get like 1,500.
For a scene?
Yes.
Interesting. And then now tell me about what your business model is. You work for yourself and pay other people. That sounds like fun.
Well, it's fun, but you know, I don't get to go home with a paycheck every day like other people do.
That's the risk of being in business for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I think some people don't realize that I probably worked for I literally did porn, you know, for free for 3 or 4 years where I was just doing nothing but paying out money, just like any small business. You know, I think some people just think it's different with porn because a lot of people think the second you do a porn, you just have millions of dollars come flying through your mailbox.
So, right.
I mean, I definitely...
That does not happen.
No, that doesn't happen. And, you know, just like building any business. I mean, I lost money on my business for years, and then I broke even on my business for years. And now, you know, we turn a small profit. So, you know, that took a long time. But, you know, it's always hard because I want everybody to get paid fairly. But, you know, we couldn't afford to hire the top name girls that charge $5,000. You know, that's like not something, you know, that's in our budget. But I always try to talk to everyone, and I definitely like to pay everybody fairly, and I want everybody to leave happy. And it's always hard to find a balance between how much we can pay other people and how much, you know, I can pay myself, because, you know, I don't want the company to go under, but I also don't want anybody to walk away feeling like they got taken advantage of. So it's a lot harder running a porn company than you would think. And when you're talking to people about payment, I mean, you're kind of putting a value on someone's body. So it is an awkward conversation to have. And I always, you know, I don't want to be the bad guy. I want everybody to have fun, and I want everyone to be happy. So you kind of just have to find a happy medium where I could turn a profit and I can keep going and doing what I'm doing. But, you know, I'm also paying people a fair amount.
Do you think that the pay rates are fair?
I think that they're fair. I mean, I'm also kind of coming from a different...
You're coming from the business, the payer's perspective.
But I also, I'm on camera myself as well. So I do understand. I mean, I think getting, you know, $1,000 for having sex with someone on camera, you know, for the amount of work that it is. And I think it's a pretty fun job. You know, I can't say that for every company, and I can't speak for every single porn girl and every single experience they have. But I think in this day and age, making $1,000 in a day is a pretty, you know, is a pretty good amount of money.
I would say so. Now, I know you also do mainstream projects, though. How is that economically for you versus porn?
Oh, I mean, right now, I mean, I basically do anything mainstream that's come my way is literally, I think, has been like... for either free or for a couple hundred dollars. I mean, I think obviously I know that there is huge money in mainstream, but it's different, you know, like you really have to work your way in to get there. You know,
what are some of the more recent mainstream things you've done so that my readers know, I mean, and my listeners?
Let's see. I was on Children's Hospital, which is a show on Adult Swim. So I was on that. I mean, it wasn't a very high-paying job. It was a couple hundred dollars, but it was really fun, and it's great exposure, and it's a great experience, you know. But, you know, Malin Ackerman, Rob Corgi, they're the stars of the show. I'm sure they get paid very well for it because that is their full-time jobs, and that is, like, what they do. And, you know, once again, they have very big names in that industry, and they're really well-respected in the world of comedy, and that's why they get the money that they do. I just had a very small role. And I think it's that way for everyone as far as I know. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are actresses, you know, like new actresses, and they don't get very much for doing films, but, you know, you hope to build your name up and, you know, get a good agent one day or do whatever, and then you can, you know, get the big money. I mean, I know that's the big difference between porn and mainstream. I mean, nobody in porn is getting several million dollars for doing a film the way, you know, Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise or Angelina Jolie or whoever, you know.
Most actors aren't either, you know, most actors in general. So what is your long-term plan? What is your, if I were interviewing you for a job, I would say, where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
I really do love the adult industry. You know, I know I can't be on camera forever, but I mean, I do so many things. You know, I own my company, I direct, I produce. But you know, you can, if you take care of yourself, you can be on camera for a long time, you know, like granted it's not like, a regular job where you can, you know, retire in your 60s, but I mean, there are girls that are in their early 40s that still look amazing and still do great on camera. You know, they just have to take care of themselves in a different way than somebody who has a job that's at a desk. But, you know, I do get out there. I go to mainstream auditions. If somebody came to me tomorrow and said, hey, like, I want to make you the star of the next American Pie or whatever, like, I'm not going to turn it down.
I was going to say, you wouldn't be returning my Skype calls.
I wouldn't turn that opportunity down, but I'm not stopping what I'm doing to make that phone call happen, nor am I, like, you know, am I banking on that. But, you know, 10 years from now, I'm 32 now, in 10 years from now, I'll be 42. You know, I just hope my company can be bigger than it is. I'm not sure whether I'll still be performing at that time or not. You know, I'll still be directing, I'll still be producing movies. I hope we can make more websites. I hope I can take my company and make, you know, a clothing line or open up bars or strip clubs or whatever. Like, I definitely want to take my brand and do as much as I can with it. You know, much like Hustler or Playboy and, you know, stuff like that. They're just like very big brands that are associated with sex, and it would really be amazing, you know, to be like that one day. But I have a long way to go, so.
Now, for the sake of my listeners, make sure that they know where they can find you online.
BurningAngel.com is my website.
Burning Angel, that's right.
Yeah, or you can find me on Twitter. It's twitter.com/JoannaAngel. I'm on Instagram at the same name too. And, yeah.
Can I ask you one last question? Do you have time for one last question?
Yeah, sure.
You know, there's been a fierce debate about okay, for those of you who do not live in Los Angeles, you may not know this, but there was a very interesting law recently passed here. And Joanna, you are, this is a very interesting, and depending on who you talk to, it was either good or bad. And that law requires porn actors in the industry to use condoms if they're filming in the county or in the city.
Right.
And I want to know how that's affecting your business.
It was good is not in the porn industry.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to ask you is how is it affecting your business?
Well, we're, you know, I don't want
to. You don't. I mean, it's a question. You don't. Yeah.
You know, we have not started using condoms. We've been trying to shoot outside of the county. So, we don't have to abide by that because we just can't do that.
I'm hearing that that's a lot of what the business is doing is simply taking their business outside the county.
Yeah. You know, we're waiting to see what happens. I mean, hopefully it can get repealed. I mean, it's pretty unconstitutional. So I don't really know. But, I mean, it's just a fact. Like, it's not even a moral issue. It's more of like an economic issue. If I started putting condoms in all of my movies tomorrow, they're just not going to sell as well. And that might be sad, and maybe that sucks, or maybe like society has to change or something. But that is just, you know, that is just a cold-hearted fact that I can't do that. If I want my company to stay in business, I can't start putting a condom on everyone. I'm just going to have to move or shoot somewhere where we can do that. And I think that the safety precautions inside the porn industry are safe, and I'm comfortable with them. And, you know, obviously there's a risk, but there's a risk in a lot of other jobs too. People just, you know, like to point their fingers at us because it's porn.
Joanna Angel of Burning Angel, you're fabulous. And I can't thank you enough for doing this interview.
Thank you very much. I hope I gave you good answers.
And we're back, baby Vegas. Read our next listener question.
All right. Elle Woods asks via the website, famefatale.com.
TheFameFatale.com.
TheFameFatale.com.
Because there's only one. Go ahead.
That's right. If most of America is okay with gay marriage and Hollywood is almost all liberal, then why are gay actors discouraged by their team or uneasy about coming out?
Okay. For this question, I asked a very, very experienced talent manager.
That is a really good question,
is
actually.
Is it? Really? I mean, is this something that's ever discussed? Do you have any actors, friends? You know, any gay actors? Do you have any gay actors?
I know loads of gay actors, and actually a shocking a bit of them are not, they're not living like quiet private lives, but business-wise, they just don't really talk about it.
Really? Still?
Yeah.
To this day?
Which is really sad, but...
But I found out why they're like that. Ooh. Okay? This manager, you should know, has worked on both sides of the game as a manager and a producer. Mm. So this person knows about both actor supply and actor demand. Okay. Now, this answer was actually more interesting than I thought it would be. I thought that the pressure would solely come from producers, you know, the people who essentially finance movies and TV, because they're the ones with the most skin in this game. They have the money to lose, but I was wrong. The pressure is coming from everywhere. Producers, marketers, even the people who are supposed to be supporting the actors the most, their agents. Let me first quote my manager source. My source, by the way, did not want to be quoted because this issue is still to this day so sensitive that there could be backlash against this person merely for discussing it on the record. That's how delicate the situation still is. So anyway, my manager friend says this: I believe there are two issues at hand here. First is the movie marketers. My manager friend does not believe audiences, doesn't believe that movie marketers are ready for audiences who will pay to see actors who are actively out. In other words, my manager friend says that movie marketers do not believe audiences are willing to pay to see actors who are actively out. For example, my manager friend gives NPH, Neil Patrick Harris, as an example. My manager friend says, does anyone actually think that the six people who paid to see the Smurfs went because of NPH? Now, NPH, yes, Neil Patrick Harris is popular, but that movie was popular because of the franchise, not the actors, openly gay or not. So if you don't have a strong franchise in this business and you want to sell a movie, you need to do that based on people wanting to see a specific actor, people wanting to pay to see a specific actor. And right now, movie marketers say people may be willing to see a franchise, people may be willing to see a closeted actor and pay for that, people may be willing to pay to see an openly gay actor as a supporting actor, but not as a romantic lead. And the movie marketers are a very powerful block. Rupert Everett still has a hard time getting roles. Sir Ian McKellen waited a long time to come out. He waited until he was like Gandalf old to come
right,
out.
Already
and he's
in real life.
He's like a national treasure. All right. T.R. Knight was forced out. But this is why things are okay for Zachary Quinto. Supporting roles, uptight aliens. I guarantee that if he ever tried to play in a mainstream big budget movie, a romantic male straight lead, movie marketers would have a hard time with that. And they would try to shut that shit down. Guarantee it. That doesn't mean it wouldn't happen, but there would be a fight. That's essentially what my manager friend is saying. My manager friend is also saying, pay cable's a little easier right now. No one's going to cancel their HBO subscription if one actor on Boardwalk Empire is out. But broadcast and pay cable still depend on advertising. One good boycott and any progress goes right out the window. In other words, TV people. Producers, they're still terrified of like the crazy right-wing Christian people having a boycott. They're still terrified. In the day of Ellen, they're still terrified of that. And here's another blind item going around about this very topic. Here's a good blind item. You may recognize this blind item because it's been going around in Hollywood for a long time, that a very big, big A-list actor was banned contractually from coming out by his agency years ago. And that to this day, if he comes out, the agency either drops him or sues him, or whatever it is in that mystery document. You know, you've heard this rumor before, haven't you?
I haven't, actually. That's terrible.
So anyway, to get back to your answer, in other words, networks are still, like I said, to this day, terrified of boycotts in this age of Ellen. And yes, agents are still terrified of the same thing, I guess. When we come back, bonus question, because it's Game of Thrones season, and I'm feeling generous like a Lannister. Back after a break. This space could be all yours. That's right. You thought that there was no place for you on the new Femme Fatale. Well, you're wrong. We're looking for sponsors. Do you want to be a sponsor? Email me at leslie@thefemmefatale.com. And we're back. Get to the final bonus question, baby Vegas.
From Midlife Midwife via Twitter. Why did the Game of Thrones folks not allow paid downloads? Could make lots of money and people wouldn't pirate as much.
Okay, the quick answer to this is competition. First of all, for those of you who are not familiar with what we're talking about, if you're a fan of Game of Thrones, we're in season 3 now. If you are a Netflix subscriber with many other shows, franchises, and movies, you can get that show via DVD or via streaming. DVD or streaming, unless it's something like Game of Thrones. In that case, you can get seasons 1 and 2 on DVD. You can't get it streaming. No streaming, just DVD. That's what this person's talking about. The quick answer here is competition. There's a little thing called HBO Go. Perhaps you've heard of it. HBO Go sees itself as a competitor, not as a potential partner to companies such as Netflix. It sees Netflix as a threat to be quashed. And this is a bunch of research I did. If you want to know where I find it, you can find a bunch of this on Forbes.com. They've been doing very good coverage of this. So did I just steal? I kind of did. But it's a bonus question, so you just thank me. Anyway, when it comes to streaming, you can get DVDs of these seasons, like I said, but you can't no streaming because HBO Go sees itself as competition. It's the same reason why this is amazing. HBO recently cut a 10-year exclusive deal with Universal that would keep Universal movies off of Netflix streaming for a decade.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. So that HBO Go can have that content exclusively and Netflix streaming cannot. It's also the reason why Game of Thrones was the most pirated show ever last year, by the way, because that lack of immediate availability outside HBO Go. It does eventually arrive, by the way, on iTunes, but it took months for a season to wrap up on HBO and then get to iTunes, say. And that wraps it up for me, Baby Vegas. How can they reach me?
They can reach you.
Yes.
Fame Fatale Says on Twitter.
Yes.
They can email you at leslie@thefamefatale.com.
Yes.
They can comment on your blog at thefamefatale.com. Or they can find you on Facebook under The Fame Fatale.
And they can find you?
On Twitter at Baby Vegas with a Z.
And you're on your way to do what?
I'm on my way for a writer's session, actually, for my web series, Royal Sabotage. Watch us on YouTube.
Or on
RoyalSabotage.com.
That's how it's done, son. Marketing, marketing, marketing. You gotta plug yourself. We will see you next week.